turn to the book of James, chapter number 4. The book of James, chapter 4. We're proceeding in our series throughout the book of James. And we've come to James, chapter 4, verse number 11. James, chapter 4, and verse number 11. Last week, we looked at James, chapter 4, verses 1 through 10 on spiritual adultery. Now we've come to chapter 4, verse number 11. We pick up our reading in James 4, verse number 11. And I'm glad we have one we can rely on. Amen. In a world that's changing, in a life that's changing, in a nation that's changing, we serve an unchanging God. I like that. That's what we studied about this morning. Miss Lashley, I salute you. God bless you. Jehovah God. He's the unchanging one. And I'm glad, folks, whenever you tap into the unchanging one, everything around you can change. But your attitude doesn't have to. Your joy doesn't have to change. Because if you're tapped into Him, He changes not. Amen. I'm glad He doesn't change tonight. What a blessing. James chapter 4, verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Powerful verses. Absolutely powerful verses. In a nutshell, he's saying, why are you judging somebody else? That's God's job. So I'll preach to you on this subject. Private property, no trespassing. Private property, no trespassing. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your goodness and your love and your mercy to us. And I thank you for the power of your word. And I pray, Lord, that you help me to preach with power tonight. Help this to be a profitable time. I pray, our Heavenly Father, that you'll be our invited guest. May the Holy Spirit of God be evident here tonight. Would you forgive our sins? Help us to be clean before you in Jesus' name. Amen. In our progress through the book of James, we've come to chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. Now, I'll be honest with you, I had every intention to go on to verses 13 through 17. However, as I read these two verses here, I felt the Lord stopping me with a tremendous truth. Now, in our day and age, there are a number of different signs that we may come across as we approach someone else's property. These signs range from no vehicles allowed beyond this point, to no loitering, to no parking, to restricted area, to beware of the dog. Now, along with all of these kinds of signs, sometimes we see a sign that may say private property. No trespassing. And in this sign, we see there is a limit to where one may go. When someone enters another property without permission or right, they're trespassing. Now, I'm saying all this because in our text, we see our Lord has hung a sign on a particular area that only He has the right to go into it. And He's saying, if you go into it, that's private property, and you're trespassing. And let me say this up front. If we enter this area, and we all have, every one of us have trespassed in this area, we are trespassing on God's private property. And with all this said, let's look at these verses. As we consider private property, no trespassing. The first thing I want you to notice with me is the command. Look at verse 11 and the first part. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Any questions? That's what he's saying. Notice here, this is a direct command, not a divine suggestion. Also notice how this verbal command is in the present tense. In other words, this applies to you right now. In other words, you may not have slandered anybody up to this point, but God's will is for us always to be in the present tense, never, never, never to speak evil one of another. That's God's command.
Now, it's interesting here that this carries the idea, talking about speak not evil, those words carry the idea of to criticize or to slander. And the assumption is that the person being slandered is not present. Are you guilty? In your home, have you ever criticized somebody in the family of God? And they're not there? That's what James is talking about right here. He's saying if you criticize each other in the family of God, you're trespassing. That's God's private property. Stay with me here. You know what the word slander means? It means to criticize or speak evil of. And it's interesting that in chapter 4, the same chapter, skip back up to verse number 7, it says resist the devil. You know what that word devil, you know what it comes from? It came from the word diabolos. You know what it means? It means slanderer. Stay with me here because this is kind of a teaching, preaching message. You know, in attacking the character of other believers, these believers here who James was speaking to were really manifesting the attitude of the devil because he's the one that slanders God's children. He's the one that criticizes God's children. He's the one that accuses God's children. And when God's children step into God's private property and start criticizing one another, they're just like the devil. That's just like the devil. And God says, wait a minute, don't speak evil one of another. See, this word is used of attacks that unbelievers use against believers in 1 Peter 2:12 and in 1 Peter 3:16. It's also used in Revelation 12, verse 10, where it talks about the accuser or the devil, the accuser of the brethren. Now, stay with me here because I'm going somewhere with this message. What I'm saying to you is that we should not speak anything, nothing, to hurt or injure one another. God wants His children to love one another. Not slander, not accuse, not criticize, because that is like the devil and that is trespassing into God's private property. By the way, that's even if it's true. Did you hear me? There are so many of God's children today who kind of get excited if they hear some dirty news about another Christian. Or they hear something bad about another Christian and they can't wait to get on the phone and call somebody. They can't wait to tell, did you hear this? Did you hear that? That's demonic. That is like the devil. And God says, if you falsely judge your brother, you are trespassing on my private property. That's what He's saying. Much less should we report evil things if they're false. You ever notice how our flesh thrives on bad things about other people? Now don't look at me like that, folks. You know exactly what I'm talking about tonight. And all I'm saying to you is God says He wants His children to be known like Him. And He's a God of love. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ doesn't accuse you tonight? If He did, we'd all be going to hell. Amen. I'm glad God doesn't criticize me. I'm glad He doesn't slander me. I'm glad He loves me tonight. But the devil's accusing me. The devil's criticizing me. He's slandering me before the throne of God. He's criticizing me. And God says, I don't want my children doing what the devil does, criticizing each other. That's what He says. By the way, don't find fault with a man who limps or stumbles along life's road unless you've worn the shoes he wears and struggled beneath his load. There may be tacks in his shoes that hurt, though hidden away from our view. The burden he bears, if placed on your back, might cause you to stumble too. Don't be too hard on the man who errs or pelt him with wood or stone, unless you're sure, yea, double sure, that you have no fault of your own. You know, this command throughout Scripture to be kind one to another, to love one another, not to criticize or slander one another is found throughout Scripture. In Leviticus 19:16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer. Now, I wonder in a crowd this size, we have any gossipers? It's obvious. In a crowd, probably in a crowd where there's one sitting to listen to me, there's a gossiper somewhere. You know what gossip is? Slander. You know what gossip is? Criticism. You know what gossip is? Demonic. Devilish. It's not of God. And all I'm saying to you here, looking at the command that God gave them through James, Psalm 101:5 says, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor. In other words, in private, whosoever slanders his neighbor in private, him will I cut off. That's a powerful verse. Matthew 7:1, judge not that ye be not judged. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. 1 Peter 2:1, laying aside all malice and all evil speakings. You know, before we're too harsh in judging those scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day, let's stop and look at ourselves. All too many Christians today go to church to find fault, to gossip, and to criticize. Now, I haven't heard this, so please don't think, if you're guilty of it, that, hey, he must have heard me last week. You know what I'm saying? I haven't heard any of this, but what's a shame is that, I hope not, but in a crowd this size, somebody will be gossiping about somebody else right after the last amen is said. You'll get with somebody out in the parking lot, you'll be right here in the auditorium, you'll go down the hallway, and that's what James is talking about. And God says that's private property. If you do it, you're trespassing. Stay with me here now. I'm going somewhere with this. You know, an incident in the life of Joseph Parker, he was a British preacher, he illustrates this tragic truth about how people try to find fault with everything. He was preaching at the City Temple in London, and after the service, one of the listeners came up to him and said, Dr. Parker, you made a grammatical error in your sermon. And he proceeded to show him what it was. You know what Joseph Parker said? He said, sir, and what else did you get out of the message? Now, I'm not grammatically correct all the time. I know that. I'll be the first to tell you that. But you know what, folks? It's time that we uplift one another instead of tear each other down. That's what James is talking about. That's what the Holy Spirit of God is talking about. Number one, the command. Number two, let's look at the crime, because trespassing is a crime. What's the crime? Look at verse 11, the latter part. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now what's he talking about here? He's saying this. The law was given, obviously to point us to Christ, but the law was given for us to submit to. It was not given for us to judge. In other words, throughout the law, listen, in Leviticus 19:18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. If we are submitting to the law of God, then we will love each other. Did you hear what I just said? If we submit to what God wants us to do, we will not criticize, we'll have compassion on each other. Hold your place here. Turn to the book of Romans chapter 13 with me just a moment. I'm trying to teach you a great lesson about the Word of God here. And by the way, every one of us are guilty of what I'm preaching on tonight. Don't you dare sit there and tell me that you've never criticized anybody in your life. I'm talking about a brother or a sister in Christ. Did you hear what she did? Did you hear what he did? I can't believe that. Can't believe his mom and daddy let him do something like that. Can you? That's trespassing. That's falsely judging. That's not of God. That's like the devil. We see in Romans chapter 13, verse 8. The Bible says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And we're talking about the law in James 4. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Skip over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Galatians 5:13. We're coming back to James in just a moment. Galatians 5:13. The Bible says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Now, here's what James is saying. Flip back to James. He's saying this in verse number 11. He's saying when we attack other believers, when we criticize other believers, when we slander other believers, we are not fulfilling the law. We're not demonstrating love towards them. We're not saying, that's the law, that's what I'll do. God said, you're attacking the law. And when you attack it, you're saying, it's not acceptable. I'm going to overrule it. I will not submit to it. I'm going to judge it. That's what he's saying. Now, folks, this is evil, because it is to forget our place, that we ought to be doers of the law. And it is to set up ourselves, listen to me, when we judge our brothers and sisters in Christ, what we are doing is saying, the law of God is not good enough for me. I will set myself above it, as if we are to judge the law instead of the law to judge us. He who is guilty of the sin here cautioned against is not a doer of the law, but a judge. He assumes an office and a place that does not belong to him. Are you listening to me? God says, here's my will for my children. Love each other. Love one another. Take care of one another. Don't rejoice when you hear something evil, but rather uplift one another. Express your love to one another. That's my law. That's my will. That's my command. And God says, when you step outside of that command and you criticize one another, you're saying the law, instead of you submitting to it, you're saying, I'm above the law. And I'm going to judge the law, and I'm going to judge him, and you're trespassing in private property, because that's God's property. When we do this, now listen to me please, when we do this, we are committing the crime of trespassing into God's private property, judging the law instead of doing it. And therein judges the law itself as insufficient. It's not strict enough. You know what you're saying whenever you criticize a brother? God's law is not strict enough. I'm going to be stricter than God. And by the way, you must understand, what you reap, you will sow. Now stay with me here, folks, because I'm trying to preach against the sin of slander, against the sin of criticism, against the sin of falsely accusing, against the sin of judging the law. You know what we need at Buffalo Ridge? You know what we need? I believe we have it. I hope. We need God's children to wrap their arms around one another. Now, maybe not physically. Amen. But spiritually speaking, we need a church who just loves one another. Just love each other. It is such an attack of the devil when God's children are backbiting, fighting each other. You know, when you do that, it's kind of hard to go soul winning, isn't it? It's kind of hard to reach a lost and dying world when you're stabbing each other in the back. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever spoken evil of a brother or sister in Christ? If you have, you're guilty of trespassing. It's not your place. It's not your place. God says you ought to be subject to my law, but when you step out of bounds and you start judging each other, because my law tells you to love one another, when you judge each other and you criticize and you slander each other and you're becoming like the devil, you have taken yourself out from under my law and put yourself over it. And says, it's not for me. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. And that's the crime. God help us tonight. Now, I'm not talking about work salvation. We're not talking, salvation's not even in the picture here. But God help us to be doers of the law of God. I'm talking about whatever God commands us to do, say, yes, sir, I'll do that. Yes, sir, I'll do that. Yes, sir, I'll do that. And one thing he's told us in his book, in his law, love each other. Love each other. Take care of one another. Number one, the command. Number two, the crime. Number three, let's notice the conclusion. This is brought out in verse number 12. Powerful, powerful verse. He says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Now, In this verse, we see our Lord summarizing what he wants us to see and what he wants us to know. He's already given us the command, don't speak evil one of another. When you speak evil, when you slander, when you criticize, you're just like the devil. When you do that, you are guilty of the crime of trespassing into my private property. And just in case you have any questions, let me wrap it all up. Here's the conclusion. Number one, there's one lawgiver. Now, who's he talking about? Who, folks? Himself. Who's the only one who is able to save and to destroy? God is. So what's he saying? He's saying, I am the judge. That's what he's saying. The bottom line here is God is the only lawgiver and the only judge. The ultimate judgment of men will be carried out by God alone. You're not going to be there at the great white throne, and I'm talking about when somebody else is being judged by Jesus Christ I'm talking about at the judgment seat of Christ, and so he's not going to say, now, Brother Jody, what do you think about this guy? Wait a minute, I've got enough to answer for myself. He's saying, listen, you're going to stand before me. They're going to stand before me. Now, why don't you love each other because you both have a date with me? Now, that's powerful. That is a powerful thought to realize that one day God is going to judge me and God is going to judge you. How dare I step in God's place and try to judge you? That's what he's saying. And it's time that we see the sin of gossip and slander and criticism for what it is. It is sin. It's wicked. It's like the devil. And God help us not to be guilty of it. Romans 2:16 says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans, you don't have to turn there, but back in the book of Romans chapter 14, the Bible says in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 10, it says this right here. It says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to me. And let me pause here and say, that includes the devil. That includes his angels. That includes all these ungodly people. They're going to bow one of these days. Amen. It goes on to say, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 3, the Bible says this. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. You know what he's saying there? I don't care what you say about me, because God's the one that's going to judge me. Let me ask you a question. Do you really believe that God's going to judge you? Do you believe that? Say amen if you believe that. Then how dare we judge somebody else? Are you seeing what James is saying? He's saying, listen, you got a date with God. There's one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Who are you that judges another? He's saying, how dare you judge somebody when that's what I'm going to do? See, he's the only one with the power and the able to administer his government. He's the one to restrain where it's necessary to restrain, to save where it's proper to save, to punish when it's just to punish. The whole matter pertaining to judgment, therefore, may be safely left in his hands. And as he is abundantly qualified for it, is he qualified to judge the world? Is he, yes or no? Is he qualified to judge you? Is he qualified to judge me? He is. And God says, I'm the only one who's qualified for that. I'm the only one. And if you judge one another, you are usurping my authority. That's what God's saying. And that's wicked. That's not right. It's not of God. Isaiah 33:22, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. Therefore, when we judge one another, we are trespassing in God's private property. Then he goes on to say this, Conclusion number two. Number one, there's one lawgiver. Conclusion number two, who are we to judge somebody else? That's found in verse number 12. Who art thou that judgest another? James reminds these brethren that there is but one lawgiver and one judge, and the stress here is on one, which appears first in the sentence. One is lawgiver and one is judge, and not only have they set themselves above another believer, but they've set themselves above the law, and in doing this, they've set themselves in the place of God. Now, maybe you've never heard it put this way, but what God is saying in a nutshell here is that, listen, when you judge your brother or your sister, you are taking my place. And you're not worthy. I'm not either. We're looking at it. I'm getting ready to start applying this to our life now. Now, stay with me here. How rashly arrogant it is to judge each other. Because you know what you're doing? You're taking the office of God, which belongs to Him, over them and you alike. He's going to judge them. He's going to judge you too. Now stop judging this way and say, God, help me to do everything I can to be ready for the judgment day with Thee. That's what He's talking about. Who are we to dare to usurp the office and prerogative of the supreme judge of the universe? That's what he's saying. Who do you think you are that you judge each other like that? Who in the world do you think you... That's what he's saying. What else is he saying in verse 12? Who are you? Who are you to judge one another? He's saying, listen, you're not qualified. I'm able to do that. I'm the one that's going to do that. Now you keep your mouth shut. That's what he's saying. Who are we to think we're wiser than the judge of all the earth? Let me ask you a question. Are you smarter than God? I hope not. I hope I'm not either. I say that hope. We know we're not. But you know every time we judge each other, you know that's what we're telling God. I'm smarter than you. It's another way of looking at it, isn't it? It's telling God, I don't trust that you're going to do what you're going to do. I'm going to judge this person right here. I'm going to take the matter in my own hands. And God says, that's private property, boy. No trespassing. That's my property. Now, let me apply this, okay? Let me apply it by saying this. Many times, those who trespass, I'm talking about speaking evil of another brother, I'm talking about criticizing, slandering, gossiping, whatever you will there, those who are guilty of that are not aware of their own misguided thoughts many times. Did you know that? Sometimes we judge... We don't have all the facts. You ever been guilty? Yes, you have. We all have. See, we sometimes criticize others unfairly. We don't know all the circumstances, nor their motives. Only God who is... See, listen to me, folks. God knows everything about everybody. Nobody has excuses with God. Nobody's hiding something from God. And God is able to judge everybody because He knows everything about everybody. Do you see that? And He's saying, you don't know everything. I do. I'm going to judge them. How dare you judge them when you have shortcomings of your own? You know, one of the hardest things to swallow is when you're judged falsely. You ever had somebody criticize you unfairly? Have you? If you have, raise your hand. You've had somebody criticize you unfairly. Do you like it? Do you like it? No, you don't. You know what happened with the person who criticized you? They trespassed in private property. But here's the point now. We all have a date with God. Get our eyes off other people. Stop looking there and looking there and look up there and say, God, what do you want me to do? Because one day I've got a date with you. John Wesley told of a man he had little respect for because he considered him to be just miserable and covetous. And one day when this person just contributed only a small gift to a worthy charity, John Wesley openly criticized him. And after the incident, the man went up to John Wesley privately and told him, he said this. He said he had been living on parsnips and water for several weeks. He explained that before his conversion, he had run up many bills, and Now, by skimping on everything and buying nothing for himself, he was paying off his creditors one by one. And he said this, I quote, Christ has made me an honest man. And so with all these debts to pay, I can only give a few offerings above my tithe. I must settle up with my worldly neighbors and show them what the grace of God can do in the heart of a man who was once dishonest. See, John Wesley didn't know all the story. And he openly criticized him. And he got the whole story later. And John Wesley had to apologize.
What am I saying?
I'm saying we're all guilty. But you can't trust your judgment. You can't trust your judgment, folks. I can't either. It's not fair of me to judge you because I don't know you like God does. Do you see that? God knows everything about you, so how dare I try to judge you when he's already got your judgment date set with him? And he says, if you do it, you're trespassing because that's my property. At a pastor's conference in Spokane, this preacher was told of being at the California Christian camp. And the first day there was a man approached him and said how greatly he had looked forward to hearing this preacher speak, and his delight was now finally able to be realized. That evening, the preacher knew, you know, he pretty much knew all about this man who his desire was to come hear him preach. But the man who was preaching that night noticed that this particular man whose dream was to hear him preach, so to speak, was sitting near the front. But he noticed as he preached, only a few minutes into his message, the man was sound asleep right there towards the front. And he thought to himself, well, maybe he's just tired after a long day's drive and couldn't help himself. But the same thing happened the next few nights. He fell asleep every night. And this preacher found himself exasperated with this man falling asleep on him. And on the last night, the man's wife came up and apologized for her husband's inattention to the messages. Here's what she said. She explained to the preacher that he had recently been diagnosed with having terminal cancer. And the medication he was taking to ease the pain made him extremely sleepy. But it had been one of his lifelong ambitions to hear this preacher that she was speaking to speak before he died. And now he had fulfilled that goal in his life. That's like a dagger in our hearts. Because every one of us, when we criticize a brother, are guilty of the same thing. You don't know what that person's going through. You don't understand what that person may be carrying on his back or her back. How dare we accuse and criticize when God says, I know all about it. Leave their judgment to me. That's my property. That's my property. This is kind of a humorous story, but it kind of gets the point across. Two taxidermists, those are people who stuff animals, by the way, stopped before a window in which an owl was on display. They immediately began to criticize the way this owl was mounted. Its eyes weren't natural, its wings weren't in proportion with its head, its feathers weren't neatly arranged, and its feet could be improved. And when they had finished criticizing the other taxidermist's job inside, the owl turned his head and winked at him. We're guilty of the same thing, aren't we? Don't get me tickled now. I won't be able to finish this. A woman was waiting at an airport one night with several long hours before her flight. She hunted for a book in the airport shop, bought a bag of cookies, and found a place to drop. She was engrossed in her book, but happened to see that the man beside her, as bold as could be, grabbed a cookie or two from the bag between, which she tried to ignore to avoid a scene. She read, munched cookies, and watched the clock as the gutsy cookie thief diminished her stock. She was getting more irritated as the minutes ticked by, thinking, if I wasn't so nice, I'd blacken this guy's eye. Each cookie she took, he took one too. When only one was left, she wondered what he'd do. With a smile on his face and a nervous laugh, he took the last cookie and broke it in half. He offered her half as he ate the other. She snatched it from him and thought, oh, brother, this guy has some nerve, and he's all so rude. Why, he didn't even show any gratitude. She had never known when she had been so galled, and sighed with relief when her flight was called. She gathered her belongings and headed for the gate, refusing to look back at the thieving ingrate. She boarded the plane and sank in her seat, then sought her book, which was almost complete. As she reached in her bag, she gasped with surprise. There was her bag of cookies in front of her eyes. Now stop it, folks. I'm trying to be serious. If mine are here, she moaned with despair, then the others were his, and he's tried to share. Too late to apologize, she realized with grief that she was the rude one, the ingrate, and the thief. Lord help me, I'm about to lose it up here. You know, really, that is humorous, but it summarizes a lot of our criticism. You ever been guilty of something that you criticize somebody else for? Now, I know there's no guilty people with that right there. Have you ever been guilty of what you slander somebody else of doing or not doing? God says, how dare you? How dare you? That's my job. See, we just can't trust ourselves tonight, folks. You can't. Why? Because you're a sinner. It would be ungodly for me to judge any one of you all as my brother or sister in a wrong way, because you have a date with God. And how dare I step out of my realm and say, wait a minute, let me play God a while. Trespassing. 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 Romans 2:1 says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest another. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, doest the same things. That's a powerful verse. Romans 14:4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Now, it is clearly against God to judge one another and speak evil one of another. As a matter of fact, it's private property. I'm trying to paint a picture for you. It's private property, no trespassing. You know, I was talking to my wife. She's at home with Jalen, by the way. Jalen's not feeling well. Jalen's sick. She's doing okay, but she's sick tonight. I told my wife I'd like to make one of these for every home. I'm not sure I'm going to do it or not. I'd like to make one of these for every home. And I'd love for this message to catch fire just like this. Whenever somebody starts criticizing your home, you take this sign and stick it in their face. Private property, no trespassing. Private property, no trespassing. You know what I'd love to have? I'd love to have, listen, we would love to have some members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church that when somebody comes across the aisle because they heard some big juicy gossip this week, as soon as they start, it's what we need. By the way, if you don't gossip but you listen to it, you're as guilty as they are. Amen. Now I'm telling you, I'm tired of this. Let's just pat everything on the head. Have you heard about this emerging church? Emergent church? You know what it is? No sin. That's not in the Bible. Amen. It's time we realize that when we step outside of our bounds, that is sin. And God says it's private property. And by the way, I told you, you reap what you sow. You ever heard the name H.A. Ironside? Just about through. Stay with me here. He was sailing for Europe on one of his great transatlantic ocean liners, and when he got on board, he found that another passenger was to share the cabin with him. And after going to see his accommodations and saw this passenger, he went up to the desk and inquired if he could leave his gold watch and his other valuables in the ship safe. The reason he did this, he said, ordinarily I wouldn't do that, but he said, I've been to the cabin and I met the man who's to occupy the other bunk there, and judging from his appearance, I'm afraid that he might not be a trustworthy person. Could you keep this stuff? The guy at the front desk said, sure, because he's already been up here and done the same thing. You reap what you sow, no doubt about it. God help us tonight to be doers of the law. What kind of a church? Now listen, we have a great church. We really do. Thank God for it. Have a wonderful pastor, his dear wife. We praise God for what God's given us, a great staff. Brother Bob, Brother Gary, Brother John, all the secretarial staff, all the custodial staff, the bus workers. The Sunday, we've got a great church. We really do. Don't take it for granted.
But you know it can be better. It really can be better. Let me tell you one way. Stop trespassing. Don't trespass. Why don't we love each other with the same enthusiasm that we criticize one another? Don't you think that'd make a difference? By the way, this message does not apply to biblical judgment. And I'm just going to tap this on the head. You know that God's children are to judge some things. We are to judge sin among believers. Not them, but their sin. I'm talking about discipline. Secondly, we are to judge, exercise judgment regarding false doctrine and unbelievers. This has nothing to do with judging righteous judgment. What this is dealing with is when God's children are criticizing each other. They're backbiting. They're stabbing each other in the back. They're slandering one another. That's what James is talking about. We're not to slander. We're not to criticize. We're not to backbite. That's private property. No trespassing. No trespassing. Now I wonder tonight, are you guilty? You know, this is a hard message to respond to. I know that. But you know where it all starts with God? Honesty. Honesty. What made the difference in the prodigal son's life? He came to himself. He said, I will arise, go to my father's house and tell him, I have sinned. He got honest. It's time we do the same. Let's bow our heads together, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father God, I pray that you'll take this message and I pray that you'll use it in a mighty way. I thank you for how your word is clear, how it's plain, how it's understandable. I pray that the message was the same tonight. Please help us to understand what was preached. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they get ready and prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I wonder tonight, are you part of the brethren? Now understand that James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He's talking to God's children. Maybe you're not even in the family tonight. May I recommend Jesus Christ? He's a wonderful Savior. And the only thing that stands between you and a relationship with Him is you repenting of your sin and receiving Him as the gift of eternal life by confessing your sin to Him and asking Him to come into your heart and life. There's somebody like that, and you say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to know I'm in the family. I really like to know that I'm in the brethren. It's a blessing to be known as a brother or sister in Christ. You say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to know that God's my Father. I don't know that tonight, but I'd like to. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Let me ask you this. If you're a child of God, the message tonight is God has hung a private property, no trespassing sign on an area. And that area is judging your brother or sister when they already have a date with God. Criticizing, slandering, gossiping. I wonder tonight, are you guilty? Are you guilty? Are you guilty? By the way, this is a sin tonight that's destroying marriages across our land. Husbands and wives criticizing each other, slandering each other harshly. Have you say, Jody, I'm going to be honest with God. God is speaking to me. Maybe you're not guilty of this particular crime, but God is speaking to you. And you say, Jody, God had me in mind when you preached this message. God is speaking to me. If that's you, be honest. Would you raise your hand up in the air with mine? Raise it up in the air. Big and high, big and high. Yes, several hands, several hands. If you got your hand raised, I'd like you to lower it, but I want you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? I don't do this all the time, but there's so many of you. I do this when there's a lot of response. It is a blessing and a privilege when God speaks. He doesn't have to do that. But He's spoken to you tonight. I'm going to ask you to respond. Do I have to? No. But I would. Just to say thank you for speaking to me. God help us with it. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our Father, take the message, use it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place and come now, please?
Have thine own way.
Would you leave your place,
Lord,
and come now?
Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay.
It's a privilege when God speaks.
Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
What number is that, Brother Gary?
306.
If you're still standing, take your hymnal, please. Turn to page 306. Let's sing that second verse together. Brother Gary, you lead us, please. Let's sing together, please.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way.
Search me
and try
me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord,
wash me just now,
as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Getting ready to turn over to the preacher. They're playing through. There's one still praying. I'd like you to look this way, please. I appreciate your patience. I'm having a good time preaching through James. I'll be honest with you.
It's good.
I'm having a great time with it. You know, they tried to teach me in Bible college. Mr. Kaiser, bless his heart, he's with the Lord. He said, you preach through a book, you'll preach on things you'd never preach if you wasn't. And I'm learning that. You know, this sin I've preached about tonight is tearing churches apart around America. It really is. And it's tearing marriages apart and homes apart. God, help us to see it for what it is. What is it tonight? It's private property. No trespassing. And may the Lord drive that in our hearts tonight. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. Preacher, you go right ahead.
Okay, thank you, Brother Jody, for that message. I mean, we're all guilty. Guess everybody in the room here should have been to the altar tonight, including me. But we need to be careful, don't we? Need to be careful. And I want to thank you, too, for the offering today. They counted this morning, and I'm told that I didn't know they'd counted it, but we have $64,000. So let's sing Praise God From Whom All Blessing Flow. Brother Gary. You know.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Let's be dismissed as prayer. Brother Joe Tater, would you dismiss?
Amen.